according to your general overall rank, we're 16th. Our governor and some other folks seem to think that 16th is pretty good these days. Is 16th, that's in the top third. That's got to be a pretty good ranking overall, doesn't it?
Sure, exactly. Well, it's exactly 16th best. So take that however. It's 16 out of 50.
Well, 16 out of 50. Missouri is known as a 40-something state because we rank 40-something in so many other critical areas. So, but this seems to look all right. Tell me how you arrive at these rankings. What you study, and do you weight any particular categories, things like that?
Yeah, let's talk about that. So the State Business Tax Climate Index is different than some other measures of taxes that you might see traditionally out there. Sometimes people will look at state tax collections and use that as a metric of how states could improve their tax code. But we take a different approach with this report. We're looking at what policies affect the structure of tax codes. So it's not a question of how much is being collected, but a question of how you're collecting your taxes. And the reason we do it this way is because two taxes can collect the same amount of revenue, but depending on their structure, they can do a lot more economic damage depending on their structure. So Missouri, we find, does generally pretty well in this regard. We divide the tax index into five major components. We're looking at corporate taxes, we're looking at individual income taxes, sales taxes, unemployment insurance taxes, and property taxes. And there's nothing really that stands out tremendously, but individual income taxes in Missouri are relatively high at 6% for the region. There's some regional competitors like Kansas that has lower income taxes than Missouri. I'm sure that's a sort of competition story that Missourians have heard. So generally what we're looking at, though, is trying to figure out what sorts of policies policymakers could change to improve their competitiveness.
Let me make sure I understand the numbers. Let me run across them. We're 16th best in overall rank. There's a number 7 under corporate tax. Does that mean we have the 7th highest or the 7th lowest?
It means you have a good scoring corporate tax.
Okay. Generally, is a 7 on the corporate tax low then?
That means that the corporate tax rate is relatively low,
okay.
But then also that the bases, we're looking at tax rates and also tax bases here. So in Missouri, there's provisions like net operating loss carry forwards and carrybacks that help to smooth income of businesses that might have cyclical income. So their tax burdens aren't affected differently than a business that might not have cyclical income.
Okay, we go to the individual income tax rank. Even though we're 27th on the list, you say we are among the highest individual income tax states.
It's certainly not the highest in the country. It's a little bit high for the region, though. Missouri has a rate of 6.0 at the top of the brackets. That's higher than Illinois' rate. It's higher than Kansas's rate, which is in the process of being cut. It's higher than the rate in Indiana, which is one of the more competitive income tax codes in the country. So it's something that could potentially be looked at for reform. Now, however, one of the pieces of advice that I've been sort of talking to states about, if they're looking for a relatively low-cost tax reform to make their state more competitive, is corporate income taxes. Missouri has a rate of 6.25% on the corporate income tax, and cutting that rate is a lot easier than some people might think. In Missouri, the corporate income tax brings in just 1.4% of state and local revenue. So it's kind of a low-hanging fruit to cut the corporate tax and make your state more competitive.
So if we cut the corporate tax, since it produces so small a part of our budget or so small a part of our income, it's not going to take that big a bite out of our overall financial health as a state by cutting that part of the income tax, but make us look much better in the eyes of business people.
Sure. An important thing to remember also is that economists agree that corporate income taxes are generally passed on as well. They're not actually borne by corporations, even though corporations cut the check. They're passed on in the form of higher prices for consumers, or they're passed on in the form of lower wages for workers, for labor, or they're passed on in the form of lower dividend payouts for shareholders. So the check is cut by corporations, but individuals ultimately bear the burden of corporate taxes. So cuts in the corporate tax are relatively good policy.
Sales tax, in terms of our states around us, we only have two states, it looks like to me, Kentucky and Iowa, that have a lower sales tax rating than we do.
Mm-hmm.
How does sales tax figure into your calculation?
Sure. Well, Missouri has a moderate statewide sales tax of 4.225%. However, local rates can add substantial burdens there. We have a population-weighted average figure that we've put together, and average local sales taxes are at 3.28%. So most people pay around 7.5% when they go and make general purchases in Missouri, but that can vary from region to region. When you just look at that rate, that ranks as 14th highest sales taxes in the country. So relatively high sales tax. It's probably better to lean a little bit more on sales taxes and a little bit less on income taxes, as economists find that income taxes, and particularly corporate income taxes, are more harmful to economic growth than taxes on consumption like sales taxes.
Your rating puts us ninth as far as our unemployment insurance tax. That seems like a very favorable standing for us to have in that category.
Yeah, sure. So that one is predominantly based on rates as well. The question of whether businesses have favorable minimum or maximum rates, and those are floating rates that change based on how the economy is behaving, feeding into the unemployment insurance system.
And our unemployment tax also, or pardon me, our property tax rate is also very much in our favor.
Yes, yeah, so I can come up with.
You were seventh.
There, it looks like you guys rank seventh there. Property tax collections in Missouri. Let me pull this up here. Property tax collections in Missouri were 37th. If you look at state and local property tax collections per capita, just $960 in collections per capita. So relatively competitive property taxes. Now, economists generally also find that property taxes, while taxpayers really don't like them, are some of the least destructive taxes to growth. I actually think that the property tax is a good levy compared to other options because they're very transparent. There's not a lot of favoritism built into the code, unlike the corporate code where there's lots of credits and deductions and loopholes that businesses sometimes take. Property taxes are paid each year, and people cut the check, and they're very associated with the tax burden. As opposed to income taxes, oftentimes the tax burden is withheld, and people don't really know that it's being taken out.
In the overall ranking, the only one of our eight neighbors that is lower than us is Tennessee, and they're just lower than us by one slot. They're 15th and we're 16th. But some of our folks here who want to do a lot of tax cutting that is favorable to business point to Tennessee, which has no income tax, they say, as a reason why we should try to emulate them by eliminating our income tax altogether. But is it worth it to eliminate that large source of revenue for state programs and services just to compete mm-hmm. with a state that is only one slot above us in the overall standings of the index?
The answer is that it's different for every state what's gonna work for them. The index favors states that go without a personal income tax. It favors states that go without a corporate income tax, but it also gives good grades to states that go without a sales tax. The lesson we're trying to teach here, and I think it's a good one, is that if you can go without one of the major taxes, you can even collect the same amount of revenue as maybe a state that relies on all three of the major taxes, but you're going to have a lot less overhead costs. And I'm not just talking about administrative costs of the Department of Revenue who has to go through hiring people to collect the tax. I'm also talking about the private costs of individuals and businesses and the accountants and lawyers that they hire to both pay the tax, but also to try and find loopholes within the tax on the business side and reduce their tax burden. So all of that activity is economic waste. One of the ways to reduce some of the economic waste of taxes is to have a slim tax code that relies on just a few really well-structured taxes to collect revenue for government services.
You're not saying that we should shift the tax burden for supportive state services to the taxpayer away from businesses in an effort to get businesses, are you?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, corporate taxes are just passed on to consumers and individuals in the end anyway. So that's one of the lessons that economists have been trying to teach taxpayers. Corporate taxes are, in my opinion, they're not a really well-structured levy because of the fact that they're such a small amount, especially at the state level, such a small amount of collections, such a distortive collection mechanism because certain businesses are able to take advantage of certain carve-outs in the code. I see the corporate income tax as not a very good levy.
Well, let me ask you about some of the statements that go with the report here. The first question is based on the fact that Missouri is just so competitive with Kansas, especially in the Kansas City area, and there's a lot of poaching back and forth by both states. But your report says, when a state imposes higher taxes than a neighboring state, businesses will cross the border to some extent. That kind of a qualification I'd like to have you get into a little bit more. What do you mean by to some extent?
Yeah. Well, the question is, how much do taxes matter here? And I think there's some pretty interesting entrenched camps on both sides of this debate. On the far right, you have folks that'll say, if you raise taxes at all, everybody will leave, and so you can't do that, and there's no reason to ever raise taxes. On the far left, you'll have people that say, you can raise taxes as much as you want. They pay for things that we like, and no one's going to go anywhere. I think the answer is somewhere in the middle. Taxes do matter for migration decisions, for business location decisions, but especially for economic growth. The reason that we do what we do and try and understand how states stack up in terms of policy is because taxes are one of the things that legislators can change tomorrow that can have meaningful impacts on business location decisions and economic growth.
But businesses also look at things other than taxes when they try to go someplace. There
are
qualities of life for themselves and for their families. Where's the balance, or which way do the scales tip the most when a business wants to locate in Missouri or Kansas or one of the other states? Do they look for the tax breaks first, or they look for quality of life? Is it 60-40, 70-30?
Even more so, I think, maybe more important than quality of life for businesses, they look at geographical positioning. Maybe they need to be close to a particular natural resource. If you're in New York, there's a great port there. It's important to, or maybe even Maryland, you've got the ports in Baltimore. Access to major urban centers, access to other businesses that are similar to your business. That matters for folks that settle in California and Silicon Valley. All of those things go into business location decisions. I think your question about where is the trade-off between government services and a favorable tax burden, I think the answer is that that's something that the residents of the state have to come up with. In New Hampshire, you have folks that like a relatively trim government, and in exchange they have very low tax burdens. It's probably the same situation in Texas there, too. In other states, like New York and New Jersey, they have very, very high tax burdens and very poor structures. The question, of course, is what's the trade-off on the other end? And more particularly, are you getting what you pay for in government services when you have much higher tax burdens and much higher complexity built into your tax code?
You point out here that legislators, state lawmakers, I cover the state Senate, so I get to watch this argument go on all the time. They're tempted to lure businesses with lucrative tax incentives and subsidies instead of broad-based tax reform. We've had a lot of that going on. How much of a mistake is it to try to figure out what kind of tax break we can give to a company to make them either come here or stay here, rather than take a good, hard look at all of our tax structures?
Well, there is certainly the problem of trying to lure a company and then not getting what you expected you would get. There's the rather famous story of North Carolina trying to lure Dell computers into their state, giving them a ton of tax carve-outs, and then Dell located there for a few years and then ended up closing down the facility and moving. Those are just anecdotal stories, but generally the economic literature is not favorable to tax incentives. One of my favorite reports on this, and one of my favorite studies on this, is by Terry Buss, who's an economist, and which found that one of the problems with the analysis of these tax credits is that they never factor in opportunity costs, the concept of what the state or what the taxpayers would have done with the tax revenue that they otherwise carved out and gave to the business. To me, the opportunity cost of giving a tax carve-out to a favorable business or to a business that you're trying to preference is that there's higher rates on all other business activity. Others might say that, you know, the opportunity cost is spending the money on education. That's up for debate. But regardless, the tools that we use need to reflect the fact that you're foregoing something when you give up a part of the tax base to favor a particular business over the over another business. There's the additional problem of the government trying to steer the creative power of the market and try and steer entrepreneurial choices from the state house. It's exceptionally hard for even entrepreneurs to know what's going to be successful and what's going to create economic growth in the future. It's even harder for government officials to know that.
Let me go back to this statement that we talked about a minute ago. The lawmakers are always mindful of their state's business tax climates, and they use they're tempted to use lucrative tax incentives and subsidies to lure businesses here, and you favor a broader tax structure. Given the competitive nature that goes on between Missouri and Kansas, for example, where we're competing and we're doing so by offering tax incentives or cutting corporate taxes and things like this, how can a state that is in a very competitive situation with surrounding states move away from the idea that tax incentives are the key and move toward a broad-based tax reform and remain competitive with those who think that tax cuts and tax incentives are the way to go?
Well, I've got a plug here. It's a shameless one. I think it's that's the mission of organizations like the Tax Foundation, to try and educate people on how tax burdens are distributed, what sorts of things go into to tax policy, and how to try and make smarter policy. So we've got a team of economists here that works on federal and state issues, and we put out data, and we issue analysis and we review economic literature and we talk to legislators to try and help them make the best decisions with the best information that's available. So if people are interested in that, they can go to taxfoundation.org and check out all the interesting data that we have and then also the activities around the country that we're working on.
I've read this next point in at least two of your publications I've looked at recently, and that is where you warn against having business practices that are motivated by, that are influenced, micromanaged, or dictated by the tax system. How do you get people to take their hands off the wheel here a little bit sometimes? Is that kind of difficult for governments to do?
Yeah, there's certainly stories of special interest groups that are able to get special privileges. So one example that I like to give is the story in Illinois, where in 2011 they raised taxes substantially on corporate income and then also on individual income. This resulted in a lot of businesses that decided they could move, save a lot of money and move, and there was actually quite a few high-profile stories of businesses that did move away. But one of the ones that I thought was interesting was Sears and Chicago Mercantile Exchange, which it's hard to think of two more sympathetic Illinois companies. They threatened to leave. They had a rather coy proposal. They threatened to leave unless they were given special carve-outs. Eventually, the state of Illinois actually caved and did give them the carve-outs that they desired. So this sort of cozy relationship I find to be pretty destructive, and I think that's a testament to how broader-based taxes and lower rates that apply to everybody is the way to go.